Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John Lance along with Dell, and off we go. How about that game? How about one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life? 9-2. 9-2, boys, to cap off a four-game sweep. Are you kidding me? Man, the Astros really, you know what? You know what gets to them? What gets to our Astros? Booing.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
it really bothered
them. It really hurts them. It hurts their feelings. Their feelings are hurt.
Their offense. They just came out and they.
Oh.
I tell you what, Oakland caught. Oakland caught the 2017 Astros. Is what they caught.
Well, they caught.
I mean, that's what it looked like.
This was just a continuation of last year's postseason. Actually, on them. Did you see the stats of all their starting pitchers? It was almost identical to the series that they played. To last year's post game, that they lasted three and two thirds, four and a third. None of them make it five innings against this team. Mm-mm. I mean, and it's not a bad staff. That's not a bad staff.
No, it's not a bad staff. That's what made it so impressive. And the Astros didn't just get them in like, you know, a lot of times they'll hit you with the big inning and then it's nothing the rest of the game. We talked about that before. How that's been one of the. That's not the. That wasn't this weekend. This weekend was you were getting runs in multiple innings. I mean, they were getting multiple runs. Jason Castro hit a home run. That is what you were looking at there, A's. Castro went yard on you.
How about you, Michael Brantley, the world's greatest hitter, goes out. What do you do? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in, Chaz McCormick. Double, homer,
yep.
Whatever.
Diaz was hitting you. McCormick, Diaz, Castro. It didn't matter who they threw out there at you. It really didn't, other than like Correa was just, you know.
Correa and Straw, but Straw got on base a bunch. But my buddy is just such a Straw hater, and I think it's racial. Although they're both white, I don't know what it is about it. This is just like this Straw hate that's coming out. Can we give it worldwide?
I don't think it's citywide. I think you may be dealing with one of your friends,
right? Maybe.
I don't think the city of Houston hates Miles Straw.
Well, here's the problem: is that you're replacing George Springer. And you're not gonna beat George Springer. I mean, he's made some plays already in center field that you're like totally sweet. He's fast. He did get caught stealing, but he is that. Can we give him a chance? I mean, I think it's citywide, but maybe it's just my buddy.
Yeah, I think it's your buddy.
Okay, all right. I want to make sure that the city is squarely behind all our boys. Man, what a weekend! Holy crap! And just to stick shove it up there. To you know, with the ooboos and the cheaters and Carlos getting hit, and then Carlos lowered his shoulder. No, he didn't lower his shoulder. When you see a picture from behind home plate of the hit, Carlos's shoulder's up. He separated from it. He did touch him with the ball. I don't want to hear it. You're a bunch of crybabies.
They're just trying to come up with anything now. I mean, it was a slaughter.
It was.
This is a slaughter.
That
they weren't within
awesome.
Five the entire series.
Can you imagine if the Astros got swept this way?
Oh, what? The city. Oh.
The Oakland would have been.
Twitter and Oakland and ESPN God. Would have rejoiced. Now what, Jeff Passan? Now what, Twitter? Now what, John Boy? Who, now what, Jared Karibas? Now what, all you haters?
Who was it put out there, the Astros are back?
Astros, like
so,
the video.
It was Jackie said, you mean the team that's going to 4 straight ALCSs, they're back?
I know.
Right?
Well, although last year wasn't really a great year.
But they still went to the ALCS.
Yeah, the final.
Yeah.
The final.
Yeah. So, man, what a great start to the season. What a horrible finish for the Cougs. That was really, really tough. They're really tough to watch. It was unwatchable for the most part. It played out about exactly the way it should have. And here was the thing. You know, they shut down Ethan Thompson. They shut down Buddy Boeheim. And Syracuse and Oregon State didn't have any other guys that could. I don't care who you shut down on Baylor. There's another guy that's going to score. There's another guy that's going to score. There's another guy that can score. Between Mayer and Flagler and Teague and holy crap, it was like and Mitchell, man. I mean, it was like they dominated the way they should have. Listen, it's the two best teams. It was surprising. I was hoping that it was that game that was going to be like the UCLA Gonzaga game, and it was just the opposite. You know, the UCLA boy, you want to talk? That was unbelievable. That was one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life. In my life, along with the 2017 Game 5 against the Dodgers.
Vern Lundquist said it was the greatest game he's ever seen. He said, and he called the Duke Kentucky game, the Christian Laettner game. And he texted Grant Hill and said, I got to knock you back. Because that went from number one to number two. It's the greatest college game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Vern Lundquist has seen a lot of basketball. Now, he might be confusing with an Alabama football game, but you never know with Vern. He and Gary Danielson are so locked in on Alabama football. It could have been he could be thinking of an Alabama football game.
Well, no,
game.
He was watching it. He's the greatest announcer in the history of announcing.
It very well could be the greatest college basketball game in history. Like, Georgetown and Villanova, it was great because the Goliath was slayed by the David. That's what made that great. This was two teams from the very beginning going back and forth. It never was out of hand. There was never wild, crazy swings. It was just players making plays. It was an insane. It wasn't a bunch of misses making it close. It was a bunch of makes making it close. It was a bunch of clutch plays. The amount of plays being made by the best players on the team was really exceptional. That the best player stepped up and made the best plays on both those teams. That's what was really extraordinary about it too. And then to end it with this series of events that took place in the last 4 seconds of the game, or last five, I guess.
It just made it even better.
An amazing game. Now, unfortunately, I think Houston-Baylor went almost exactly like we thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like it could go any other way. I didn't know how Houston was going to have to shoot perfectly, or not perfectly, but they'd have to shoot really, really well. They had to keep Baylor from getting out and getting easy baskets. It was just once Baylor hit that big run in the first half to extend it to, 38-17, it was like, this is as bad as I thought it could be.
Yeah.
You know, there was a range.
No,
I thought, this is the worst.
It was the worst it could be.
It was the worst it could be. Because once it got there, you don't have a team that can come back from that. Not against a Baylor.
Mm-mm. When they cut it to 10, it was like, okay. But, you know, we kept talking about this week about how's Baylor going to react when they have to go on a cold streak. Well, we knew the Cougs, you know, that was going to happen with the Cougs because that happens every game with the Cougs. They go on a run where they can't score, but they're able to bounce back. What's Baylor going to do when they get? Well, they didn't. That actually never happened where they went on a run. I mean, I thought that the Cougs were going to be able to D up better. I had the argument with AJ on Twitter, and I got to admit, dude was right. I mean, that was just all about Baylor. Baylor is just so good. Now we got, man, I hope we get somewhere close to that UCLA Gonzaga game. It sure would be totally sweet. And you know what? It has all the makings tonight of being a really, really great championship game. Hopefully, it plays out that way.
It really does.
Really does.
I haven't decided if I want it to be a great game or not. I'll figure that out later.
Well, and Gonzaga being
some of the numbers,
big a favorite at 4.5, that's a big number now.
Well, you got to make it a big number.
Well,
that's not even a that's not really a big number relative. To
well,
Gonzaga.
Not to relative to Gonzaga, but the way that Baylor now this is the listen. This is make no mistake. These are the best two teams, and Baylor early in the season was right. It was Gonzaga and Baylor. And then they went on their COVID, and then they slipped up a little bit. But they look back to being Baylor. 4.5 is a lot of points to be given this Baylor team.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as deep, we saw how deep they are. We saw against the best defensive team in this tournament how devastatingly good they can be. So I think 4.5 is a really big number in this game. Now, Gonzaga has been just put everybody away other than UCLA and West Virginia. You got them to within 5. I don't want to be, you know, recency, but man, this is not just recency with Baylor. This team has been great.
It's been really good.
For the most part, all year long.
I just think that, you know, Chris Solis sent me something, and he's right. Drew Timmy really is today's Christian Leighton.
He really is.
And I mean that in a good way. I mean that like in he is talented from the, well, you know, stepping out. He's a talented passer. He's got all the moves inside.
Wow.
He is time travel Christian Leitner is what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is very, very, his game is very, very similar. He plays with the same level of confidence. But what is astonishing to me about how good Gonzaga is somebody who didn't watch, you know, a lot of college basketball this year in the regular season and then just locking in on it now, is that, holy crap, you know, they don't settle for bad shots. When they take threes, they're pretty good looks at the basket. They've got guys who can elevate and get good looks at the basket even when they have people around them. The back cut offense is, you know, classic standard high-end stuff for a really smart, efficient offensive team. They get to the rim and finish. Like, they don't just settle for – this is not going to be 43s from the perimeter. That's not what they're going to do. They're not shooting as many threes as they possibly can trying to win the Daryl Morey math game. They're trying to get inside. Now, the other thing that Morey likes was layups. And I will say, now that I think about it, Gonzaga doesn't do a lot of mid-range stuff, do they? Most of Gonzaga is in the paint or from three.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, actually, they are a lot like Morey now that I think about it, because you want frees and threes.
Well.
And the freebies around the rim, the free throws, and then the you know, the three-point shots. But to me, Jalen Suggs has moved himself into the top. Watching he and Cade Cunningham, I'm not sure how it's like. Jalen Suggs is the best player in college basketball.
He is. He really is.
He's the best NBA prospect.
How about his quarterbacking?
I know.
He's still
Holy crap.
Quarterbacking like in high school or on the court?
No.
Because, you know, he
in
was
in high school.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video of him playing?
Yeah. Oh, no. He was a real prospect.
He was
Mr. At Ohio
Holy
State.
Crap. He was Mr.
Like
Minnesota.
Basketball more.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he was a real guy.
I think Quincy Avery tweeted out that he worked with
him. I mean, he's a better athlete.
Dell, did you know he was recruited? Did you ever remember hearing about him?
Not so much. I know Quincy Avery tweeted out that he worked with him about...
I think he was a 4-star.
I don't know. I have to look it up. Quincy Avery worked with him and said that, yeah, we worked a little bit together, and then we both kind of came to the realization, yeah, there's a different sport you should be playing. You should be playing that other sport, the one...
Why?
Because you get paid really quickly and you don't get hit.
That is true.
Yeah. Apparently he's still, in some people's eyes, maybe the fourth or fifth best guy still. You got the two G leaguers.
Oh, is he?
Obviously, yeah.
Good. I hope he lasts till 4.
If the Rockets even get to make that pick. But
what are you talking about? They get to make a 4.
No, oh, they don't get to make it. There's no guarantee they get to make that pick.
Now, how does that work with the G
League players? The Rockets will be, listen, have you seen our team lately?
Yeah, I don't know if you know. It's a lottery. It doesn't just go by draft order.
50% chance.
Yeah, that means 48% chance to not make the pick.
Yeah.
So it's almost split in half.
Well, yep. Mr. Pessimism, Mr.
I'm Bob just telling you, if they make the pick. But I will tell you, just from listening to people 50. Going around talking about Jalen Suggs, his lack of size is an issue for some people, and he still might be considered the fourth or best, fifth best
How tall
guy.
Is he?
I don't know. He's smaller than all the other particular guys who could be picked.
He doesn't look it on the court.
He's only maybe 6'2 or something along those lines.
I'm going to take it. Man, and you see his high school tape? Man, he is a good.
Yeah,
holy crap, can he wing it?
He's,
you want to talk about an athlete. That's even a little better than I was coming out. But,
yeah, a little better. It got him at 6'4, but some people think he's smaller than that.
6'4. 6'3 is plenty.
I'm saying people don't think that's actually his height.
Yeah, well, here we go. Let's see what ESPN has him at. 6'4", 205.
I said 6'4", but some people think he's smaller than that, that's all.
Yeah, well, 6'3 is still plenty. It can't be that much smaller. So, I mean, he's got plenty of size to play quarterback.
Not quarterback.
We're
talking about guard, not quarterback.
I'm talking about playing quarterback. Oh, you're talking about playing guard.
You're talking about basketball. Of course he's big enough to play.
I thought I was saying that he's tall enough to play quarterback.
No, of course, clearly. Yeah. Kyler Murray's playing quarterback.
Yeah,
clearly.
Here are his offers. Georgia, Iowa, Iowa State, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Arizona State. No. Arizona State did not. Baylor did not. Okay, the rest of these are no.
Yeah, well, they're
so done. He was good enough to get a. Yeah. So at Ohio State, that would have been pretty good. Georgia, Ohio State, like those are decent teams.
Yeah. Some people didn't offer him because they knew the deal. He's going to play basketball.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, if the Rockets he's available and the Rockets don't take him, then I'm done with him. I'm done with him. All right, that's it. Because that dude is a great player. Holy crap.
We got more on that. If you guys want to jump in on Baylor-Houston, on the Final Four, on the Astros' hard sweep of the A's, or the Rockets, they had some things going on, and there's an injury. But I want to tell you about TGS Insurance, a company who has been saving me money now for 3 straight years. I was so ticked off when I first found out that I was like, wow, how much could I have been saving for the last, I don't know how many years if I'd been shopping my insurance. And that's a problem with homeowners insurance. It's something a lot of times we just let, not lapse, but it just rolls over and you just think, okay, no hassle. I don't have to worry about it. It's pretty much staying the same. What happens over the years is it keeps going up on you and you don't really see that. It can be $17 here, $21 there. And before you know it, when you're not even shopping for other rates, you are paying way too much. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323, and you can find out within 15 seconds how much you can save this year. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Jalen Suggs con el triple en la chicharra le dice buenas noches a UCLA y por segunda ocasión en la historia de Gonzaga.
Bueno, what about when he dropped the triple? Jalen Suggs es un triple. Buenas noches. What a great call that is. But you can find the Spanish call on everything.
Well, that, yeah. Well, it's that same guy, it sounds like. Everywhere.
Well, whoever works.
He does everything.
Westwood wants Spanish with the call.
Yeah, and that dude does everything.
So
yeah.
Who would he be now? Now, at one point, he would have been the Brent Musburger. You can say he's the Jim Nance, but I feel like Jim Nance is too hoity-toity.
No. He's...
Ian Eagle?
No, the other guy that does all that does everything.
Not Kevin Harlan?
Kevin Harlan.
He is Spanish Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, he's Kevin Harlan. I think Kevin Harlan, honestly, when he does TV, he just, because he does so much radio that he's got to describe everything. When he does TV, it's like, dude, you don't have to say every word. Yeah. It's okay. You can.
The guy is drunk.
You can slow. You don't have to say everything. I don't like Kevin Harlan on TV games.
He's in a, Kevin Calabro, what used to be good. Kevin Harlan is in like a haircut commercial. I saw him on it the other day.
Yeah.
And he's got the same voice talking about haircut. Bob Menery. You've heard him on the Buffalo Wild Wings stuff. If you've seen him on Instagram, it's hilarious. Forever. He got a start. He's another guy who just became Instagram famous and then has turned it into a like podcast. Like he's got a real career now. And he started on Instagram just doing funny videos because he's got this great voice. He's got this great TV guy voice. And he would for those who haven't seen him, he would comment like he was a TV commentator over sporting events. And then he would start cussing, and you would think, holy crap, this, it started off as going viral because people thought a guy accidentally had a hot mic on and didn't know it. And it turns out that was his thing, and then he started doing the Buffalo Wild Wings thing. But I almost feel like part of what he does is like a little bit of a Kevin Harlan voice. Is that that's
yeah,
where he gets it
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. What does this look like to you? Just a quick glance of it.
Like some kind of brain scan?
Yeah, it could be, or something else. It's actually the hitting zone of Yordan Alvarez. he's swinging at a lot fewer bad even.
No.
His chase percentage has gone down from 28.6% in 2019 to 17.5%.
Oh,
if you're done baseball. Baseball, guess what?
It's awfully red right there in the middle.
You're going to have to come into him, and guess what? That's going to be a problem for you pitchers. If you've got to come into Yordan, and boy, did he drive a couple of pitches. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh. Yordan, Yordan moving up. I didn't. So Bregman sat game three for whatever reason, and then he was back. And with Brantley out now, they moved Yordan up to fourth, which is, you know, where Yordan. How about Yuli's start? How about Altuve's start?
Yeah.
How about Breger's start?
That doesn't usually happen. Breger's never starts hot. And look what happened this year.
And look at him.
And how about the pitchers? We haven't mentioned McCullers, Urquidy, Greinke. Which one of those guys were in serious trouble? Like, McCullers works a lot of pitches. He'll always be that guy. Who's the pitchers?
Well, McCullers threw a lot of pitches. Urquidy threw a lot of pitches. Javier threw a lot of pitches. I mean, the bullpen has been, listen, and now Garcia starts tonight. When Odorizzi comes, and then when Fromber comes, you know how good this bullpen's going
to
be?
Got a chance to be
moving
pretty good.
Moving guys. Javier moving. Paredes, he's the only guy that's struggled in the bullpen so far. Paredes is the only guy that has struggled. Mm-hmm. When if he gets his stuff together, Javier moves into. Javier was typical Javier. Throw him for three innings. It'll be perfect for when Odorizzi comes back or when Fromber comes back, because Javier's going to be able to. You remember in the postseason, how good was Javier for that 2-3 innings when somebody didn't have a great start? Bring in Javier for three innings, perfect, and then you let the rest of the bullpen. This bullpen has a chance to be really good. While you don't have that dominant closer, there's a lot of really good arms in that pen.
And it's still something you might be able to get down the road. I wish baseball had buyouts so you could get a closer that way without having to try to trade anybody.
Oh, well, yeah, no. Right. That would be, yeah.
Like basketball buyout. Hey, look what we got. LaMarcus Aldridge. Hey.
And for nothing.
We just got Drummond.
Yeah.
How about this?
For nothing. We don't have to pay him. How about this? Because he's already getting paid. He don't need it. 724 ESPN 97.5. That is it. What a great. Other than the Cougs kind of ruined the weekend. And that was the center. That was the center point of the entire weekend.
The Astros weekend, though, going to the A's, I think the center point for a lot of people was the Astros. Starting the season, and you go over to the A's, and this is a team that you got into it a little bit with last year, and then you have the A's, you know, Mike Fiers is on the squad, even though he's got mysterious injuries every time he pitches against you. But watching the Astros completely humiliate the A's, I mean, humiliate them. Not only with the bats, Alex Bregman pulled a gritty on him. Did you see him do the LSU Justin Jefferson gritty dance?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he did that.
Yep.
And watching for at least 6 minutes as Todd Callis and Julia and Jeff Blum tried to figure out what was going on and what that was. It was a matter of time before they get a text or Twitter would tell them. But seeing them stumble through what exactly Alex Bregman had just done was kind of fun to me. And then, Bregman, you look like a scalded dog last year, the whole time. I don't want to talk. I look at my sad face. He didn't have a sad face at all the whole time. He's back to the swagger Bregman. Tuve was back like that.
Yep.
Like, this team has basically said, okay, last year was your penance. Sorry you didn't get it. Sorry you didn't get in all the way because of the pandemic.
Bring the booze on. Bring them on because, yep, you know what? You guys are absolutely right. I hope you feel. Then finally, saw the tweet. I forget who it is. Anyway, he saw the tweet. So it's about time the A's fans are finally booing the A's, which needed to be done a long time ago with, you know, scoring 9-8, 9-9 about and not hitting. I mean, you want to talk about a total ass kicking all weekend long, and they're you know what? It was worth it to boo the Astros. What a bunch of babies. Oh, my goodness. That was so totally.
I don't care if you boo, but what happened was You got humiliated.
Listen, this lineup was...
They should kick the A's out of baseball.
This lineup was ranked 11. If these guys hit, and Bregman's starting out hot. You're right. He never starts out
never.
Hot. Altuve, the way he hit last year. Now, he did turn it around in the ALCS, and he hit great in the ALCS. When Carlos starts hitting, if Straw can get a little bit on a roll.
Did I miss?
If Tucker can hit.
Did Altuve have any throw? I didn't see him have any throwing nothing,
no
issues.
Problem, no problem.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, no. The only thing people can say, you're going to lose Carlos Correa. That's the only thing you got on us right now.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true either. You don't know. No one knows how that's going to turn out. 727 ESPN 97.5. 7378-0377-6. Opening up the phone lines to talk about anything that you want to talk about over the weekend. Good stuff. So right now, though, let's talk about Jeff Aronoff, an absolute marble in granite, and building your business back up. Doing something that you got to do, which you haven't done in a while. You know, you can't just assume that, you know, after 15, 20 years, everything is just fine in your business and it just looks fine and it's going to continue to let people, you know, oh, people are going to continue to want to come in. No, I mean, you got to upgrade. You really have to make, if you want to stay in business or your home, you want to sell that home, well, guess what? You got to make major improvements to it. You can't think of that a house that was built in the 80s or 90s and you haven't done anything to it, that it's just, well, I'll just turn it around, it'll be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. You got to do some major work to it. You got to upgrade. You got to do all kinds of major stuff to it, and that's what Jeff Aronoff is here for. You want to remodel that home. You want to put in that outdoor backyard patio, kitchen, whatever it is. Jeff Aronoff's here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. All right, let me ask you guys, now seriously, how excited are you guys that Jordan Spieth won this week as we head into Masters Week? I don't care about Texas, but
isn't he from Texas? Yeah, didn't he win it in Texas? Yeah. So Texas back. I don't know.
No,
if you've heard.
That's golf.
Chris Beard, Jordan Spieth coming back to win. Texas is back. No, what you heard. I'll say it again.
Sark.
They ain't done anything yet, but congratulations to him.
Chris Beard hasn't done anything yet either.
No, but they
and Jordan Spieth don't do anything for
he
Texas.
Just won. Texas is back. No, I don't know if you heard.
All right, Chairman Dell.
Sark ain't done anything as a head coach, is what I'm saying. All he's done is getting fired.
Have you seen Judas and the Black Messiah? Mm-mm. It's really, really good. And I'm sorry, Chairman Dell.
I haven't seen it. All I know is put some respect on that university's name.
Dude reminded me of so much of him. I can't even tell you.
Did you see him on Saturday Night Live?
No.
There's an episode. Dell would probably love this. There's a scene. Did you see it, Dell?
No.
There's a scene where he plays a father. And Chris Red, not what's his name, Red. One of the actors is his son, and then one of the black actresses is the mother. And it's the classic Nigerian parents thing. They're with two other parents, and one of them's their son is like, hey, this is a sculpture he did. And he won an award for it, and it's supposed to be like a 20-year-old or 21-year-old. And the Nigerian parents go, oh, yeah, that's so wonderful. You got yourself the next. You know, and they're all excited for the son. And then their son is like, our son's going to be a doctor. And all of a sudden the kid goes, well, actually, I've been thinking about it. I really want to pursue my passion as an author, as a writer. The Nigerian parents lose. I mean, they can't control themselves. We should pull it up and play it because you don't have to. It's not really visual. But listening to their disappointment with their son, and then at one point he gets up and he, you know, reads his poem, which is just terrible, and they smash their glasses in their hand. Oh, this is great.
Did you get that too, Dell?
Yeah, from Dell's already had.
You've already gotten that?
Well, because of you, oh, when he said you work with a clown.
He is a clown, right?
The radio thing wasn't the first choice.
I told my wife, I said, when we were watching, she was laughing. I said, Dell's dad worked at NASA.
He didn't work at NASA.
Well, we put well, that. Well, we that's
say
how
we. We say he does.
We think he worked at NASA.
Yeah, we think that. That's fine.
Kind of worked at
he
NASA.
Did. Okay.
Then what did he do?
He worked for Boeing.
But that's
yeah. They but both they. Fly. But he worked
they
with
both
NASA.
Fly.
Right?
Then how did it turn into NASA? Was that just John?
Yeah.
Have I just listened the yes. whole time?
John? But didn't he have
Wait,
some
I
connection to NASA?
I assume your dad worked I'm, at NASA I'm because of
he
John.
Worked, he worked on space shuttles. So I'm assuming at well, some point they came in contact. But he didn't work for NASA.
Did he work on space shuttles?
Yes, he was
oh,
an aeronautical
well, John
engineer.
John was right.
Yes.
He worked at NASA.
He didn't work at NASA.
Basically.
All right, 7:33. He worked at NASA.
He
Same
did
thing.
Not work at NASA.
Did Boeing do stuff with NASA?
But he didn't work at but, NASA. But, did not
so
pay
he,
him.
But Boeing did stuff
All
with
I'm
NASA.
Telling you,
your dad worked at NASA.
I'm, his, I'm yeah. the son. I've had there. The experiences. He didn't work at NASA.
Time to get Slappy in here. What up, Slappy?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What to do? Hey, matter of fact, my stupid girlfriend got in a wreck last night. Do I need to call Dave?
You what?
So my girlfriend got in a wreck last night, man. Do I need to call Dave?
Better call Dave.
Better call Dave. Yeah.
No, you got who's our insurance guy? Do we have one? No.
No.
Yeah, call
it's,
Dave.
Well,
that's
an insurance for a lawyer.
Oh yeah,
it's a lawyer.
Oh, lawyer Dave.
Lawyer Dave.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Better call
yeah,
Dave.
You call Dave.
Yeah, you better call Dave.
He took the salt.
All right. Well, she is half Korean, so I guess she can't drive half the time. But I want to talk about
Ooh, okay, Carlton Davis.
I want to talk about what.
All right.
Anyway, they're sitting here talking about trading and shout out to the Astros, love them, but they're trying to trade Russell Wilson, dude. That's like the perfect quarterback, dude. Why are they sitting there trying to trade that dude?
So you know what's funny is I heard a discussion of Adam Kaplan was talking about this. We probably need to get him on sometime this week. He had some great stuff yesterday on Fox Radio or whatever, and. He said basically about this that Russell was very they won't give. He said it is a lock that Russell Wilson will not sign an extension there. And that I guess they won't either they won't offer one or that he doesn't want one. But they had some kind of falling out and Russell Wilson does not want to be there. Like it's not necessarily a mutual thing, but it's becoming a mutual thing. Russell wants to go. And I think they allowed that to be out there, but they were never going to trade him. You notice how they didn't even, like, the offer that Chicago was supposedly making, why would you not have done that if you're Seattle, if you were serious about that you wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson? So I think that it doesn't make sense to me. Russell's a phenomenal quarterback. He had a bad second half of the year. But basically from what Adam Kaplan said is they just, Russell does not want to be there anymore, and he felt kind of disrespected by the team. We know that some of it had to do with, the personnel stuff, kind of the similar Deshaun Watson thing. And teams aren't, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter who the team are. There's not going to be a team that lets a player run the personnel or the hiring process. It's just not going to happen, whether it's Seattle or Houston or whoever. And Russell felt disrespected, I guess, and so here we are. He started hinting that he wanted out, and they started hinting that they'd, dig around for a trade, just kind of, playing the game back at him, and now I guess it's Adam Kaplan basically says it's crossed the line of no return, that at some point he'll either be dealt or he'll be gone. Maybe not this year, but within the
future. How about Deshaun for him straight up? Let's go.
Would
Let's
you
do,
do
it?
It. I'd do it now, yeah.
I'd do it right now. Absolutely, I'd do it right now. Are you kidding me? You get Russell Wilson and as opposed to this mess, who, by the way, is under investigation now by the Houston Police Department. So that is apparently one has come forward, one of the accusers, and it's not known whether or not she has a lawsuit, but an accuser has stepped forward and contacted the police department, so they are investigating. Whether or not this is one that is, we don't know. We don't know. All we know is that the police now are investigating the situation. 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. James wants to get in here, talk about his Astros. What do you say, James?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I just want to talk about Astros. I'm kind of, I pulled back from baseball a little bit. But, man, I've liked that the Astros are kind of becoming like, I hope they own, like, the Bad Boys, like, we cheated, what? I want them to maybe even come up with a shirt that says, banging trash cans as hard as I bang your mom until she puts a ring on it, too. You know, I think that shit would be, like, cool, little catchy. And I like that fact and the way they're playing. And like you said, with Bertman, kind of got his attitude back. And I just hope we keep that and just kind of own it and just saying, yeah, that's who we are. Through y'all. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. And it feels like they are. It really does. I think after last year and after they see how hypocritical everything is, like now that they've had time to absorb their, you know, make their shame walk. Sorry it wasn't in front of full stadiums, but it's too late. The Astros aren't going to be wallowing in pity and grief this year. They're not. I think the postseason snapped them out of that. So any teams that thought they were going to, you know, the fan bases that thought, yeah, we'll make the Astros, this is going to, they'll see what happens. This is their nightmare. If the Astros come out on fire offensively and you try to boo them into submission.
That's great. That is great. Go ahead. You know what? Not worried. Go. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Now, yeah, this lineup tonight is a little bit different. It's a little bit different. When you got Trout, Justin Upton, you know, Pujols, whatever, Shohei Ohtani. You got Anthony Rendon, you know, Fletcher and Iglesias, whatever. This is a little bit. Max Stassi is homered. Max Stassi hit a home run, y'all, this weekend. How's that? So you got that. Kurt Suzuki, actually, if I remember correctly, Kurt Suzuki is actually an Astro killer. I don't like him. So this is a better lineup, and you're gonna face better lineups than you. So a 1-9, they're all pretty good hitters. And with the A's, they're all pretty good, but there's nobody really outstanding. When you're talking about Trout, Upton, Rendon, you got really, really good. And then Pujols is Astro killer, so you know you still got that there. This is going to be tougher. This is going to be a little bit tougher. So then you come back home for the A's. Let's go. A's come back. Somebody put out there that the Astros are 35-9 in their last 44 games against them, and I believe that. That's a real possibility, I guess.
Well, they 35-9 is a lot.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
It's a big number.
I didn't feel like I'm gonna. It was on Twitter, so I'm gonna go with it.
It's probably.
I mean, Twitter. You know what? Twitter is obviously something that never will mislead you. So that's what.
Dan Orlovsky's talking about Justin Fields right now. I can only imagine.
Oh, the is he? He's got a,
shooting out of his mouth.
He's got a
after
love.
What happened to him.
Would you want to play his?
Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about, we'll read what he said previously.
Yeah, or you can, we can.
Then we'll read what I don't think. I don't.
You
know
can actually play both of them.
Oh, do we have it on Pat McAfee?
Pat McAfee's out there.
Okay, we'll play what he said initially. Then we'll give you what Kirk Herbstreit had to say about Dan Orlovsky, as it was ESPN on ESPN Violence, and then you'll get to see you'll get to hear Dan Orlovsky's hostage video from yesterday.
In which he's in his kitchen.
From his kitchen.
He looks red and he looks beat up.
Something happened. I just want to say that I made more phone calls.
man, stay in your lane. I don't get in your lane, Dan Orlovsky. Don't come walking into my lane. It is what happens. You get done up. You get beat up. You saw what happened with Sister Jean just whooped that ass.
Whoa.
Sister Jean, a draft, just whooped that ass.
Wow. Sister Jean don't have nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but
year?
Not real Sister Jean, but like the people in the draft space, former players. He doesn't know how the game works. You can't be coming out here saying that about a quarterback.
Yeah. No,
like
no.
Justin Fields.
You can't say that. You know, that's stupid. You can't have that kind of violence on Justin Fields, brother. Not being the quarterback you were, okay? Just so you know.
You better be careful about choosing violence.
Yes. No. 742 ESPN 97.5. You're going to hear it. And he heard it. And he backed. Boy, did he back that. He was like Homer Simpson backing into the bush.
Yeah.
Yep.
I made more phone calls, and it appears as though Justin is really great.
Justin's the hardest worker since Tom Brady.
I've been doing the work. I mean, please don't be mad at me, ESPN.
All right.
And then Paul Pierce is it. Who took more heat, Paul Pierce?
Oh my gosh!
Or Dan Orlovsky?
What a great video that was! That was look awesome, Paul Pierce. Do more of that. Do more of that video. Tremendous. 713-780-3776, 742 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about my friends over at the MMA law firm. And that, by MMA, it's McKenney Mosley and Associates. McKenney Mosley and Associates. And they're awesome at what they do. And listen, we got hurricane and flood season coming your way. It always does. Now, okay, so this is where you got to start to worry about what's going on. You got to have the insurance ready, because there's a lot of insurance policies that have been had. When we had Hurricane Harvey, they're like, it's not a flood. Sorry, it's a hurricane. Sorry, so you don't get paid. What? Okay, what? Yes, it was a flood. No, and listen, the insurance company is going to be literal about every single thing in there. Let McKenney Mosley and Associates review your insurance policy and give you free advice on policy amendments you should be seeking. This is kind of a big deal, people. Have this going forward. Don't be caught up in it when it happens and then say, wait, I didn't know that. No, have McKenney Mosley and Associates look at your policy and give you free advice on policy amendments. If you already suffered a loss and you can't get insurance company to pay up, they can do that as well. All you got to do is go to largelossattorneys.com. That's largelossattorneys.com.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FN. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, the 35-9 was the series run score. So, never mind. 35-9. The 35-9 was the run score. My bad. And doesn't matter. I wasn't doing any research. I just read the headline again.
I think I saw on Twitter somewhere the Astros have beaten them 35 in the last 44 games. 35-9.
No. They were 3-7 against the A's last year. So, and the A's were chirping about that in the postseason, and then they got their ass kicked. And then they got their ass kicked again in this series. So, guys, burying the lead here. Some major events we'd like to see in Amazon's Lord of the Rings. Okay, so would we like to see the construction of Barad-dûr? Is that something, or the forging of the Rings of Power, how that happened? Is that something that we'd like to see? The origins of the Nazgul? Is that something? Is that something that we need to see?
No.
In this new Lord of the Rings? And the precursor to Lord of the Rings? I don't know.
It's not.
The rise and fall of Numenor?
I'm not going to pretend like I wouldn't enjoy the series because that I'm in that sci-fi fantasy stuff, but I don't have any expectations about what I'd love to see. And you know why? Because I'm not a
nerd
like yourself.
No, that's not nerdy at all.
I will watch that thing, but I'm not going to have conversations with you about it because I don't care enough about you
that's
or it.
That's not nerdy at all.
Okay? You're a nerd too. You're a
but
Marvel
you know what I'm not.
Nerd.
You know what I don't do? Bring my nerdiness to this show. If I'm prompted,
yeah, you do.
If I'm prompted, I will talk about it. But he is like, oh, look at this random topic. Well, didn't you lead into the break about how you can talk about Justin Fields, and now we're talking about Lord
I
of the
did.
Rings?
I did. He tricked me into Lord of the Rings.
No, this is listen.
What about Nazgul's theory of relevance?
Relativity?
What?
What? What are you talking
That's
about?
Nazgul's theory of relevance. Okay, so that's not the case at all. That is not the case at all. 713-780-3776, the number, if you would like to get in here. But let's talk about this Dan Orlovsky thing. First of all, Dan Orlovsky came out. Do you have that? Do you have the sound of him saying it?
I have him with Pat McAfee.
Yes. Pat McAfee. Yes. Yes. So give it to him. Tell him and where he went wrong, though.
I mean, so I saw the whole thing, like they want to know if he could read defenses, right? People who say he can't get off number one, once they say that, stop listening to them. I think that the Justin Fields thing, and because I've made a couple calls about this, like why Justin Fields, why is he falling this and that? And I can just share, these are not my opinions. These are the things that have been shared with me.
Okay, smart.
One, I have heard that he is a last guy in, first guy out type of quarterback, like not the maniacal work ethic. I've even heard it compared to Justin Herbert, where it was like, dude, when Justin Herbert showed up, it was like a psychopath when it came to working to get ready for the draft or even at school. Like, give me more. I want to work nonstop. And I've heard that there are some questions with Justin Fields' work ethic. Okay. And then the second thing is like, how do I phrase this the right way? Like, where is his desire to go be a great quarterback? Okay. I think that there is a desire to be a big time athlete, from what is expressed in, but where is his desire to go be a great quarterback? And to be great, you got to be willing to find the things that you're not good at and just freaking grind on them.
Who's telling you this stuff? Pretty high up people, yeah?
Yeah, people that are going to be at least associated with decision making.
That's fat, because they're getting that information from somebody within Ohio State, right? Mm-hmm. Who's telling that? And it's like, okay, who's leaking that information?
Where did he go wrong is what you're asking? honestly, I had not heard the entire thing, just what everyone was screaming about. Now there's like 30 more seconds of him talking. Other than having to end each sentence with saying, it's not my opinion, it's what everyone told me. So anytime the clip is cut up, it'll have him saying, someone told me this. I'm not sure what he's supposed to do other than report what people have told him.
It's not...
What is his other? I get the racial implications, black quarterback, and then he threw in Justin Herbert, the white quarterback who worked so hard, but allegedly. But he expressly said, this is what I've been told.
Yeah, it's well, this is a no-win situation. This is why you have to avoid this stuff. He doesn't know. He heard it. He got it from somebody on a team. Team is getting it from somebody at Ohio State. I'll get into some stuff in a second just for the show. But you're right. He basically said, so I'm at the NFL. I work for NFL.com because I took over for Nolan Naraki. Nolan Naraki was there for 1 year. You may remember Nolan Naraki when he was at Pro Football Weekly. And Nolan was one of the most plugged-in guys. He was probably the most plugged-in guy to the NFL of anybody at the time when he wrote his Cam Newton and RG3 comments on the draft. That's what gets spotlighted. The fact is, Nolan Naraki has that stuff about a lot of people, but no one will do the work and find out and get context. Nolan Naraki's a guy that said Cam Newton always knows where the cameras are. He always knows where Cam, you know, Cam is basically a camera guy. It's the same thing you might say about J.J. Watt right now. J.J., it didn't make J.J. Watt any less a great player, but J.J. Watt has always known where the cameras are. Let's be real about that. Number two, he made a comment about RG3 not loving basketball. Football. The thing about RG3 ended up kind of coming true. His stuff that he had on RG3 was not necessarily inaccurate. Cam stuff, you know, that's a guy who ended up going to Super Bowl and winning an MVP, so that looks worse. But what Nolan did is Nolan was like a scout. Nolan was having conversations that were in scouting rooms, that were in the rooms with NFL teams. He has those conversations with NFL people, and he would try to bring that to his writing with Pro Football Weekly. You read it like this is how scouts talk. This is real talk inside the building. The problem is when you bring that out there against players, it becomes very easy for you to say, where did you get that from? And he had no answer for that. He got that from other people. He didn't go to Auburn to find out about Cam Newton, stuff like that. So it became very, very difficult for Nolan Naraki. All the heat came up about he's anti-black quarterback or whatever, and then NFL basically kept him 1 year and said, I don't know the whole thing behind it, but they got rid of him after 1 year, and then I got the phone call, and that's why I'm there. But I always had a tremendous amount of respect for Nolan Naraki, and he gets that information from NFL teams. Well, I get NFL information from NFL teams, but you know what I say? Scouts say, sources say, I dumb it way down, I simplify, or I simply don't use if I know that it's the juice isn't worth the squeeze. It's real simple. I've heard stuff on Justin Fields. It's not enough to make me alter my grade, to be honest with you. It's kind of similar to what Dan Orlovsky's heard. It means it's coming from somebody inside the Ohio State building. It's definitely not enough for me to
put it out there. And listen, there is an element of, he's a black quarterback, so you do have to be a little bit more.
You absolutely have to. You better know if you're going after a black quarterback. Some of that stuff is left over from it's kind of old, you know, about the these quarterbacks, these conversations. You know who was also said to, but this is where it kind of screws it up. You know who was supposed to be a meathead was Mitchell Trubisky. But Mitchell Trubisky also went second. You know what I mean? Mm. So, like, he didn't fall in the draft even though he was considered a meathead. And that was out there, too. But there were some teams that were really not high on Mitchell Trubisky. It's funny. I think Chicago got real high on him. I'm not sure a bunch of teams were very high on Trubisky, to be honest with you. They were much higher on Pat Mahomes than I realized. It's not until after the process where you find out about how many teams really like Pat Mahomes, and they just happen to be later in the draft than, you know, than the top nine teams. But for Dan Orlovsky, he got to Dell's point. He got information. He passed it along as this is not mine, but this is what I'm hearing. But you really have to be careful on that. I thought a real disservice was done to him, though, because he was going to take his heat for that. But the way Kirk Herbstreit came out and pummeled him with his comments.
You got that?
Well, I have.
I only see it written. I haven't seen the audio.
What I have is Kurt Herbstreit responding to Dan Orlovsky's mea culpa when he's in his kitchen.
Oh, okay.
And the quote tweet is absolutely ridiculous. Even if you aren't saying it, to pass that along from people in the know is reckless and absurd, embarrassing. And it's reckless and absurd because of the connotations, because of Justin Fields and he's a black quarterback. But if he passed this along about a cornerback,
No one would care.
It's because it's the history of this position.
There's a history, but like I said, it is not the same history. I've had to have this conversation with black friends who, and it's an uncomfortable one because it's hard to get them to recognize because I don't walk in their shoes, and there's years and years of baggage that is associated with this. So you have to be sensitive to that because I walk around in a draft world where black, white, they don't care. Black scouts talk about a black quarterback just as reckless as they would about a white quarterback and so on and so forth, because you have to have full honesty. If a guy's not smart, you got to say he's not smart. If a guy's a bad worker, you got to say that. If a guy's this, if a guy's that, if he's soft, if he's whatever, Justin Herbert got the soft label left and right. He's a white quarterback, so he wasn't going to get killed. You know, you're not going to get killed for saying that. But I had to put it out there because they thought it was that's a major thing that could have an impact if guys don't respect you in a locker room. And I just put a direct quote that I had from a league guy about how he'd been in Eugene. He'd been a Eugene kid his whole time. He wasn't ready for those dogs in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It turns out the guy was wrong, because last I checked, he was perfectly capable and willing. And that's the ultimate thing. No matter what anyone says about any of these guys, it's irrelevant. They will go out and play, and they'll either prove them right or prove them wrong. But for Kirk Herbstreit, you know, I think Kirk saw an opportunity in some way to get back in good graces with Ohio State fans, because as I'm sure Dell knows, Ohio State fans turned on Kirk Herbstreit about 5 or 6 years ago, but they got so nasty with him that he just left. He just went to Nashville and said, "I'm done with these idiot fans." And now this is a chance for him to jump back in. Not that he doesn't, you know, believe it also, and I don't think it's just because it's Ohio State quarterback. I haven't heard enough that would cause me to have – I had concerns way more about Jordan Love. The Jordan Love stuff, hot boxing in a car and not caring, you know, it at a time where he shouldn't have been, and scouts telling me, man, this is not a guy who loves it, and people in the building really question if he loves it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I pay attention to, and I drop my grade because of it, not to mention his tape stunk. But – Justin Fields, I have not heard enough. I've heard everything I've heard really to me can be a matter of opinion, or even if he's immature or not fully bought in as being a big vocal team leader, which apparently he's not, it doesn't mean you can't, but that's nothing that to me looks like it's detrimental. Like, I don't see character flaws there. So if it's not a severe character flaw, I'm not as concerned about it.
All right. We'll hear Orlovsky's apology on the other side.
His eyes, am I lying here? No, his eyes are like, red. He's got a lot of worry.
He looked like he had been crying.
But here's the thing. If you've never been beaten down by a Twitter avalanche, you don't know how stressful that is.
Yeah.
And for what he faced with with his own workers, former players, co-workers coming at him on Twitter,
yeah,
that had to be really rough
for him. On ESPN Violence, when he catches that, that's usually saved for outside, you know, somebody else. But when Herb Street came after him, now all of a sudden you're like,
former
players. He got caught having like just answering a question openly instead of, you know, maybe I need to realize what could happen to me if I said this and if I say this. He didn't have the thought of what would come, and
because he hasn't no dealt
he
with,
caught
he
got
know.
He got some what he thought was inside information and he just went with it as opposed to
he had no street like, sense.
Well,
of
you'll
how
hear
to
him
handle it.
How he dug deeper, which was he should have done well before he said anything. 7:59 ESPN 97.5. I texted Patrick Chastang about the Cougs, and I feel bad for him because he loves his university. And if you're a Coug and you're not buying your Ford from Chastang Ford, then I don't know what the heck you're doing, because these are the people that you take care of, Cougs. You take care of people that take care of you, that love your program, to put their money where their mouth is, in back into the program. And you know what? It was a tough weekend, but it was a great season. And Patrick Chastang is going to move forward knowing that it's going to be even better going forward after being in the Final Four. And here's what else is happening. You're going to get the best deal that you can on a Ford because it's Ford Truck Month, and it's unbelievable. If you haven't driven this Ford F-150, it is the best truck I've ever been in. The 2021 is the best truck I've ever been in. And, oh, by the way, all you commercial guys are out there right now on the roads, and you're busy because of Arctic Blast or whatever that has been going on. You got customized work vans for you that they can put it exactly what you need into these vans. All you got to do is get to ChastangFord.com and see for yourself. And most dealerships charge up to $3,000 in unknown add-ons. They just don't do that at Chastang Ford. So you're saving right off the bat about $3,000 for than going to any other dealership. It's all at ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.